Honestly, Roger, it's too bad. It's the third year running you've forgotten.
Well, all right, then. It's some special day. And I've tried to remember. It's not our wedding anniversary. It's not your birthday. And it's not the twins' birthday. It's not Valentine's Day. And it's not Mother's Day. I give up. You'll have to tell me.
All right, then. Here's your present. Happy Christmas!
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
Stop messing about. Oh, hello and welcome. Well, there's lots I'd like to tell you about this week, but the producer said to me, he said, go on out there and talk to them, but don't hang it out. As if I would. Oh, no, I'm not one to elongate my introductions. No, well, not in public anyway. I will.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, Ken.
Oh, here they are again. Oh, love's young dream. You're looking very pleased with yourselves today.
Well, yes, Ken, because last night was our first time.
Oh!
We went to see Dr. Zhivago together.
Oh, what did he say? Good news, I hope.
Yes. We went to see the film.
Oh.
It was our first date.
Oh, gives you the heebie-jeebies, doesn't it? Oh, I don't suppose you watched the film.
I saw everything.
That's as maybe. But what was the film about?
Well,
come on, Dr. Zhivago. What was it about?
Russia.
Is that all you remember?
No, 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 no. There was this girl, this Russian peasant, about to be executed by the Tsar, and two iced lollies danced on and offered themselves for ninepence.
Yeah, that was the interval.
Well, I know, but we had to look at that bit. The lights came on.
Oh, and to think David Lean spent 4 years making that film.
4 years?
4 years. He directed also one of my greatest successes, you know. Oh, yeah. Carry on, Lawrence of Arabia, you know.
Oh, yes, I've worked with them all. Oh, I have. Yes, John Huston. John Huston.
Carol Reed. Lovely girl.
As a matter of fact, I am planning to make a film.
You're doing a film?
Yes, based on the book of the River Kwai.
They've already done a film about the River Kwai.
Yes, but this is the unabridged version.
I was in Birth of a Nation.
I know, dear. You ran to fetch the hot water.
Douglas, for heaven's sake, come and rescue us before the films and the jokes get any older.
Sentiments exactly, Mr. Williams. In spite of recent pay rises, many homes in Britain are feeling the pinch of rising costs, and nowhere is the pinch felt more frequently than in the home of Sid and Rita Dipfinger.
Sid?
Oh, not while I'm eating, Rita. Time and a place for everything.
No, no. I'm worried about the rising cost of living, dear.
Oh,
the fact is, you see, our ingoings don't balance up with our outcomings.
Oh, is that a fact, Rita? Oh, pass the champagne. I'm just about ready for my second cup.
Well, exactly. Champagne. I mean, couldn't you make do with a nice bottle of Beau Jolis?
Beau Jolis? I can't drink Beau Jolis with caviar. It's the wrong colour.
Well, not if I cooked it a different way, dear. Boiled it up with a bit of onion.
I certainly don't want to drink boiled Beau Jolis.
Well, I meant the caviar, dear. Oh. There must be some way of making it into a shepherd's pie. And as for last week's green grocery bill, see what could we possibly have done with 73 pineapples?
Yes, the mind boggles. Oh, whatever it was, I hope we enjoyed it. It's only the teapot.
No, but seriously, Sid. Now, I'm doing all I can to economise, so I think you ought to ask the boss for a ride.
You're right, Rita. After all, I have been there for nearly a week.
Well, exactly. I mean, tell him your take-home money just isn't enough to manage
her. I will, but there is just one snag, Rita.
What's that, Sid?
Well, they don't know at the bank that I'm taking money home.
Enough. It's Crackerjack and Audrey with Mother Time, and here with arms akimbo and quite a lot else besides is Mary Maud Nethersell.
Hello, tinies, and biggies too. Have you ever wondered what Eskimos do during the long, dark winter? Yes, you're absolutely right. They tell each other stories. So here's one that's been going round the Arctic Circle for years. Once there was a little seal called Geoffrey who desperately wanted to play the post-horn gallop on his motor horn. He was very well connected. His uncle was Lord Privy Seal. But though he was well connected, his motor horn wasn't. And when he got to the bit with all the tantivies, his bulb always fell off. So he said to his mother, I know, dear, said his mother. It's frightfully difficult not to lose one's bulb during a tantivy. Why not stick it on with a bit of blubber? Well, as you know, blubber comes from Wales. So Geoffrey set off for Aberystwyth. With his precious instrument tied up in a spotted red handkerchief. Presently he met a short-sighted husky dog who'd just had a spine-chilling experience. He'd mistaken the North Pole for a tree. Said Geoffrey. And the husky dog told him, huskily, what had happened. And Geoffrey cried so much that his tears made a hole in the ice. And there was a beautiful whale called Blodwyn. Well, Blodwyn gave Geoffrey more blubber than he knew what to do with. So now the three of them have teamed up into a most successful trio, the Three Eskimo Nellies. Geoffrey plays the horn, the husky tells shaggy dog stories with a difference, and Blodwyn squirts. But now for our song. Here's one I learned in the frozen north whilst parking my icicle. Though life on the whole around the North Pole has certainly got its faults, there's a little igloo where we both can do the Aurora Borealis waltz. In warm woolly drawers we'll both take the floor for a bit of Icelandic schmaltz. Do what Eskimos do, we'll rub noses to the Aurora Borealis waltz. With a tiny oil lamp to keep out the damp, the merriment never halts. So say you'll be mine at wig trimming time in the Aurora Borealis waltz.
So we come to our feature, Feeble Fables, Stories with a Moral.
A sort of Aesop missing a bell.
Well, sort of, yes. And our story with a moral this week is set in Chicago during the time of the Prohibition.
Known as the You Can't Do That There era.
My name is Wall, Walter Wall. I used to be in the carpet business. I've made a pile. So, when Prohibition started, I opened a speakeasy on the east side. I also had one on the west side, but that's another story. Okay, I'll get it.
Boss! Boss! I got terrible news! It's been cut off!
Oh, I am sorry.
Our liquor supply! There'll be no more booze! The entire bootlegging syndicate has been wiped out, including gang boss Seltzer Pone and his brother, Alka.
Yeah, another joke like that and you'll be wiped out.
Oh, but boss! Boss, we're down to our last case of booze. After that, we've only got your carpet cleaner.
No, we need the real stuff. Get on the phone to the West Side Syndicate, run by Babyface Nelson's little brother.
Who's that?
Would you believe Babyface Half Nelson?
My name is Flanders. I'm a mall. I was in the bathroom showing Babyface my black bottom when the phone rang. He squared his massive shoulders, picked up the receiver and said,
"Hello? Bootleg Boutique? Yes, we deliver COD. And if you want something to drink with a cod, we'll deliver GIN as well. Yeah, right, got that. I've got some brewing in the bath right now. Remember our motto, not a drop is sold till it's 20 minutes old.
Who was that?
Wall to wall. Then he's up it.
But that's East Side. You can't go to the East Side tonight. The cops are watching your every move.
I know. Hardly blame them, can you?
Get 25 years, don't you? Do you want to wind up a broken old man?
I'll try anything once.
Ah, what's the use?
Look. Look here. Don't fret yourself. I've come up with a solution to our delivery problems. I've bought us a funeral wagon.
A what?
A hearse. We hide all the bottles in the coffin and just drive across town.
Oh, that's a stupid idea, Babyface.
No.
No wonder they always call you by your initials.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Now, hurry up. If you're going to come with me, you'll have to dress for the part. Have you got anything black you can put on?
Why, yeah, but ain't I going to look a bit funny sitting there in a hat, a veil, and my underwear?
As we drove across town, we realised that the funeral wagon was one of the greatest ideas I'd ever had. Even the cops had to take their hats off to us. Finally, we reached our destination, Walter's place.
Gee, Babyface, how'd you get here so quickly? Don't you have trouble with the fuzz?
No, I only have to shave once every 3 days.
Well, having brought all the stuff here, all this way, I guess you need a drink.
Well, thanks very much. I'll have a small, large, enormous. Thank you.
Anything with it?
Bucket of water, I should think.
How about you, little lady?
Well, I'll have a small one, because it's funny with me and booze. One drink, I hardly feel. Two drinks, I begin to feel it. Three drinks, and anybody...
All right. What about you, Walter? Aren't you going to have one?
No, thanks, I don't.
Oh, come on, to celebrate our working together.
I tell you, I never touch the stuff.
Oh, please.
No!
And the moral of this week's story is, you can take a hearse to Walter, but you cannot make him drink.
Problem caller, and in it, almost ready to throw in the towel, is our problem man of the week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouth Partner, and I have a problem of a very personal nature.
I am sorry.
I haven't finished. Personal nature on account of I suffer from claustrophobia of the feet.
Just of the feet.
Well, that's enough, isn't it?
No, I meant, couldn't you wear shoes of a bigger size?
No, I daresn't wear shoes at all.
Well, it's very difficult for getting around, isn't it?
It is, yes. For instance, I suffer torments when travelling on a crowded train. I have to shove my feet out of the carriage window. And they get all smutty. And the tunnels are ever so painful.
Agony.
Well, don't the other passengers complain?
Oh, no. They take it in very good part. Though people getting in sometimes make hurtful remarks.
You can hardly blame them. It's not very nice to be face-to-face with a smutty foot.
No, I suppose it's not, really. No. And recently my feet have been holding me back in my chosen profession.
Which is what?
I'm a halfback for Tottenham Hotspur. One little dribble and I'm in agony. That's why I have decided to become a librarian in a nudist camp.
Ah, very sensible. Yep. You'll not only be footloose, but fancy-free as well.
How true that is. Yes. It helped me with my claustrophobia, but now I've got another little problem.
Oh, dear, what?
Well, do you know what agoraphobia is?
Yes, fear of open spaces.
Yes, well, now I'm suffering from that. Only higher up.
Time now for our song spot. We again bring you the Maxie Length Harris Male Voice Choir.
It's boner to open up your ear and sing. It's boner to hear the OB voices ring in harmony.
Oh, hello.
All from a couple of homies who know how to handle a vocal.
Excuse me.
Oh, hello, I thought you trolled off home.
I did. Now I've trolled back.
Oh, poor Miss Cutie Pie. Straight off the good ship Lollipop.
I'd like to know what you're going to sing.
Well, it's funny you should mention trolling, because today's offering is all about trolls.
Careful about it.
It's from Grieg's Peer Gynt.
Mind your P's and Q's.
Peer Gynt. You see, I've got it right.
Only just. Don't risk your luck a third time. Oh, it is a lovely piece.
Oh, lovely.
It's about the bit where all the little trolls come down the mountain.
Yes, where they've been up trolling all night.
Trolling.
They end up in the hall of the Mountain Queen.
King! King! You are a fool. Honestly, can't take you anywhere. Can't take
you never
anywhere.
Asked me, do you?
Well, it's disgraceful the way you carry on.
Well, I get...
Put yourself together.
Put yourself together. Flummoxed.
Keep on picking on me all the time. Pick. Pick at. Like being surrounded by the seven dwarfs.
You want no Snow White ducky?
Could we return to trolling down the mountain?
Oh, it's in the Polari.
Oh, quick as a flash chuck, yes.
Might as well pick it up in it, though.
The way they fall into
they
it.
They do. Yeah.
I meant your song.
Oh, suit yourself. Go on, announce us.
Right. We proudly present the first public performance of the trolling song.
From a gint called Pier.
Visualise a troll who is all alone, feeling miss. All the other trolls have gone and left him on his tot.
Oh, poor little Omi, they've trolled off and left him.
Yes, all they're like that, those trolls, tickle.
Oh, I could tell you a troll tale or two.
Yeah, well, don't, just get on with the song.
So, because he's feeling bored, takes a boat up the fjord, and to help to pass the time, he takes his fishing rod.
He slings his hook. Splosh!
Splosh, Chuck, and not even a nibble.
Then he sees a maiden fair on the shore, standing there, combing out her golden hair, name of Solveig.
Combing out Uriah, she is.
Nice. Mm.
So he rows his boat ashore, she's been there an hour or more, getting fed up waiting for a fella named Grieg.
Grieg? I thought she was waiting for Peer Gynt.
No, chap. No, it's Grieg she's really after, but he stood her up.
Ah, poor old Pallone.
Yeah. Nice for a troll, though.
So he welcomes her aboard. They go right up the fjord. And what happens afterwards is fit to print. You may say, well, fancy Grieg standing up, poor soul big. But the reason is he's very busy with Peer Gynt.
Busy
as a beaver, love no time to take his holes. Very busy, looking for an ending to the saga of the trolls. That's it!
Nice time for the Smith Report. But first, tell us some late football results. Chelsea won, Arsenal lost. West Ham United 4, Rotherham against. Manchester City 8, Millwall drank. East Fife, and Hackleton Academical, Hamilton Academicals is very difficult to say. So, to the Smith Report, and our investigation into depth into this week's main topic, travel. Does it get you anywhere? What does the man in the street have to say?
I always travel by underground, and it makes me late for work every day.
Why is that?
Well, there's a notice on the escalator said dogs must be carried. Sometimes takes me hours to find one.
Oh, I love to travel. Last year, I went on a camping holiday with my boyfriend. Just me, him, and one tent.
And how far did you go?
Oh, not half as far as he would have liked to.
So much for public opinion, but what are the views of an expert? Greater efforts than ever before are being made to encourage tourists to travel to Britain.
Oh, I've taken over recently as head of the British Tourist Board, and quite frankly, I think we've been going about it the wrong way. I mean, look at our advertising. Beautiful Britain awaits you. Please come to beautiful Britain. Damn it, these are foreigners we're dealing with. You don't ask foreigners, you tell them. All they understand. So I've had new posters printed saying, come to Britain, all you crafty foreigners. Get up off your backsides. Pull your fingers out and get over here, run away. Come to a decent country, or I'll have your guts for garters. That should do it. They'll be over here in swarms. And then perhaps there'll be more room on the beach for me and my wife in Monte Carlo.
Perhaps it's worth noting that no matter how much people travel around the world, they still retain the accents and attitudes of the place where they were born.
Oh, I do agree. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I found that no matter where us American girls travel, it's almost impossible to get us to drop our drolls.
I am in complete disagreement. I have found that wherever I travel, I speak perfectly. The accent and the grammar of the country to which I am traveling to. Here in England, I speak to people and they think I am an Englishman.
Surely there's just a trace of accent?
What do you know, you swinehorn? We are asking the question.
One of the problems of travel is finding yourself alone in a railway carriage with a person who insists on talking to you.
Here. I've been staring at you all the way from Parsons Green.
Yes, I've noticed.
And I've been thinking there's someone who looks lonely, unhappy and friendless and would benefit from a kind word from a fellow human being.
I'm really quite happy, thank you, reading my book.
Oh, you're right, quite right. I know just how you feel. I can't stand it either with someone sitting in a train quietly reading and someone starts talking to me. Or drives me mad. It really does. It's right on my nose. I sit there and I keep nattering on and on. rabbit. It's an intrusion of privacy, I think. A person's right to privacy should be respected. Don't you? I said, don't you?
Yes!
Yeah, quite right. And the thing some of these people say, so personal. I don't think it's right for one person to say personal things about another person. I mean, I wouldn't sit here and say you are flat-chested, even though you are. I wouldn't say it. You tried exercises? I read in the magazine once you can build up your bust in less than 14 days by doing exercises. You want to try it? A bit more on top and your legs wouldn't look so fat. I've always said that some girls can wear short skirts and some girls can't. You look better in a maxi with those legs. Yeah, that's it, a maxi skirt with an iron-neck sweater and a sack over your head.
Get out of here before I call the guard!
No, don't be like that. After all, we're on our honeymoon.
Well, was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.